us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you this morning for your amazing grace. We thank you for renewing your mercies towards this morning. Oh God, you love us so much, Father, that every day when we get up, Father, you renew your mercies to us and you shine, oh God, your light in our path to direct us. We thank you, Father, for bringing us to this time. Lord, we are, Father, depending on you. We need you, Father. You are our everything. And Father, this time, when Father, the sun is setting, Father, on the world, oh God, Lord, the evening times are here, and it's at the evening that the token is applied. Father, we pray, Lord, this morning that may you help us to apply the token, not just to apply, but to display it, Father. We need you. Oh God, we've been around this mountain long enough, Father. It's time to turn northward and cross Jordan, Father, into the promised land, into the land of our promises, Father, the word, Father. Oh God, help us, Lord. Oh God, help us, Father. Lord, help us, Father, to take our land. Oh God, you told Joshua, everywhere where the sole of your feet tread upon, there I give you. Oh Father, help us today. Help us to take the promised land. Oh God, help us to take the land of salvation. Help us to take the land of healing. Oh God, help us, Father, to take the land of good health and strength, Father. Help us, Father. Oh Lord, give us faith to stand on your word and not move. Let us be fixated on you. Let us focus on you, Father, knowing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh God, help us this morning. And Father, we pray, may you bless the service. Father God, may you open our hearts. Father, help me, Father, to share these few thoughts and help your children, Father God, open our hearts, Father. And we pray that may your presence be with us. Without your presence, Father, there's nothing we can do. Help us, Lord. We love you. And Father, we are here this morning to give you thanks with a grateful heart. We are here, oh God, to adore you, to worship you, and sing your praises, Father. We commit all to your hands, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so I'm still going to continue. Like I said, I'm continuing to walk through the Bible, but I'm going to start by God's grace, the new series, The Statue of a Perfect Man. All right, and that will take us, I don't know, for some time. All right, and I'm very happy to be back again for the month of September. And, you know, I always like when the month starts on Sunday. You know, it's like we gain. When the month starts on Sunday, usually we get like 5 Sundays in that month. So we're going to have 5 Sundays in September. All right. So in July, I walked through the Bible focused on building the temple for divine fellowship with God. So in this new series, we are going to look at what the building is supposed to look like. You know, when you go to an architect and they tell you, you know, this is what you're going to do and the plan, they do what we call a rendition to show you how it will look like. And many, I'm sure you've gone by many places where they're going to be building a mall or anything, some plazas and things like that. And you see that people do rendition with like people walking with all the trees and everything. And it's going to look like how it will look like, right? So we talk about building a temple for divine fellowship. Now we're going to try to see how that building is going to look like. So my first reading is from 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and let's start from verse 5. Or maybe let's start from 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall neither fall. For so an entrance, ye shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the second one is found in Ephesians 4:11. Let's start from 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of their word. You may be seated. All right, so I will start again. I'm being a person that's very visual. I will start again by starting giving you a visual picture. When I study architecture and structural engineering, they drill something in our brain. And what they drill in our brain is that any good and successful project or that you make, whether it's a bridge, a building, whatever it is, you must first take time to do conception. And that's why you have mental architects, because architects, they dream. Engineers don't, they can dream, but they're more mental, very practical. There's a problem, solve it. But an architect, they can dream, see things, social life, different things. How would this affect people? If people are walking here, if a car is passing, they can see all that. But they may sometimes not see how to solve a problem that they raise. That's why architects and engineers, they always have to work together. So the conception is when you really sit down and say, what is it do I really want? How would it look like? And begin to look into everything. Where can we put this? Can we put a mall here? Would it attract people? If we put a mall here, what's the traffic? Who will come here? All right? So where do we put it? They do all kind of things. They look into everything. Traffic, people's behavior, things like that, okay? And you have to do that from beginning to end. And sometime when it's not well done, you can see some projects start and the ending look bad. You can be on certain road. One of them around here is 395 going to Washington, D.C., all right? You see the highway, you see all of a sudden, with no warning, it bring into a neighborhood in the end of that on 12th Street, and all is light, you don't know. If you don't know around here, you're driving on this highway, all of a sudden, the highway just ends into street with light. It's because when we're doing the design, there are certain things that they didn't consider, and that thing came at the end, and they couldn't solve it, so that just is like that. But when you drive, you say, well, why? Okay, that's what happened when you don't really plan well from beginning to end, okay? So after the conception, we put the plans, we conceive in what's called a master plan. Okay, master plan, all right? And in a master plan, you have different parts of the master plan. Different parts, okay? Where are we going to put it? That's called siting the land. Where are we going to put that land? Where are we going to put the project? Where do we put it? Then if you site the land, can we buy it? That's a little bit like what the church, I'm sure you all were in the meeting, the church, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to site. Where? Is it here? Is it somewhere? Is it, if we put it here, what about the people coming all the way from Maryland? If we put it in Woodbridge, what about the people come from Maryland? If you put it in Maryland, what about the people come from Woodbridge? All right, that's called site, you see. If you don't do well, let's say, if you say, oh, you know, we need a church, and, you know, we're going to put it, we find a cheap land somewhere in Stratford, we put it there, then what happened? Half of the church can come, half of the church may not be able to make it. Right? Say, okay, we're going to find somewhere else to go. So all those things are careful conception, planning into everything that you do, having the end in mind, okay? Now, in a construction work, okay, you have starting the land, preliminary work to define, you know, the land, earthwork, excavation, foundation, doing all that. Now, if you take a mansion, okay, and I'm bringing it down come to the Bible, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mentions. So I wanted to take, that's what gave me an idea to say, wait a minute, let me go back to how every mansion is built, okay? Now, in a mansion, you have different buildings of structure in a mansion, all right? Now, in the old time, you have what they call the main building. You have different things. You have guest quarters, In the old time, all over before Havel, so you have outhouse, you have what you call the gardeners, the maid quarter, the boys quarter, all that thing in a mansion, the stables. But today you have to talk about parking, all that. Well, you have to keep the hay and everything, right? Now, so like shared today we have more like shared, garage, different things. Now, all this were designed because you want to dwell. You don't dwell in the shed. You don't dwell in guest quarters. You don't dwell in a horse stable. But all that, there have to be a main building where you dwell. Now follow me, okay? I'll take you somewhere. I know now I look more like, is Brother Marcel trying to make us all civil engineers here or what? No, don't, all right? Now, all those things that I just told you about, shared, all that, they are called appurtenances. Appurtenances is A-P-P-U-R-T-E-N-A-N-C-E-S, appurtenances, all right? Now, the appurtenances, all right, and the main building, they're all from the glory of that mansion. Like when you're driving by a mansion, you don't just look at that main building. Look at a gate. Imagine you have a mansion and the gate looks so ugly. They didn't mow the front. The mansion will lose its glory, right? So when you build a mansion in the main dwelling where you go and the appurtenances, the different things, all together, when you put everything together, forms the glory of that mansion. And a good architect with the engineers, they'll put something together. Like if I'm walking to here, like for instance, if I'm going to the bathroom, I should not go. If I'm in my master bedroom going to the bathroom, I should not go to the hallway before I get to the bathroom. There's something wrong. All that together, well thought, right? Now, obviously, we human, since we are finite, our plans cannot be final, all right? And it's subject to change. That's why, as you are building, there's a provision. You talk to your client. Listen, if we are digging and we hit something, a rock, we told you we're going to build this in 1 month. But if we hit a rock that it takes a month to drill through, we have to call change order. All right? So we allow, for as human beings, something that we call a change order to change. Or let's say we are doing it, we realize a building cannot stand here. If it stand here, there could be a problem. We do what they call a change order because we are finite, okay? And we cannot see, we cannot, it's finite. And we change. So everything that we do is subject to change as we learn new information, okay? Because we could not see the end before the beginning. Now, so you already see it, you already getting where I'm getting, right? God began his conception before the foundation of the world. If you go read at Isaiah, we begin to put the moon, the stars, the different, all right, the earth, everything, all that put together, that's what we call the glory. You see the stars. You can go out there and just gaze at the stars. And just look at the stars for the rest of your life. You can look at the mountains. You can look at the rivers. You can look at all those things, all those put together. All that put together is a mention of our God. All right? Amen. Now, God began this before the foundation of the world when the first thing that he did, he formed the logos. And when he formed the Logos, that's when that great spirit that hover over everything moved closer into how he can execute this plan. All right? So God first sighted the land where the project will start. Like, all right? You know, you see me now, you got to sight. He sighted, where am I going to put this project? So we read in Genesis, he sighted the land starting from Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When you go by a land, it's a woods, all these things, nothing, no light, nothing there, the dark, right? Woods and all that. And God sighted the earth, that form. All right? Now, God began to lay out his appurtenances. Like I told you, in a big project, I'm going to put a stable here because if the horses, okay, we are not a horse time, I'll put the car garage here because when we drive from the road, this is where it is. When you back out, drive this way. Some say, no, I run a circular driveway. When you come in, you drop me, you go that way, right? When you begin to put all those things together, all right? So God began to lay out his appurtenances in Genesis 1, 3 to 25. If you read, they'll say, and then God said, let there be light. He divide the light from darkness. Let there be this. Let it be that. Let it be that. All those were there, they are pertinences. Like I said, you don't live in a shed. Right? You don't live in a shed. You don't live in your garage. Right? You don't live in the guest quarters. But God began to put all their pertinences together. All right? But now, he came. Now, after he did begin to put appurtenances, but the question is, where is my main dwelling? Where is my main dwelling place? I'm not going to live in appurtenances. I'm not going to live in the oceans. I'm not going to live in the stars. I'm not going to live in the rivers. Where is my main dwelling place? All right? Obviously, where you put more of your attention and everything, energy and everything, is where is your dwelling place. When you go buy a house, you don't go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to refocus. Oh, man, I can buy this house because this shed looks so ugly. Who does that? You focus all your energy on where you're going to sleep, right? Obviously, the wife will look at the kitchen well, how certain things are, right? And men, they also have that thing, they'll look at other things, right? You begin to look, pay attention to those. And then there are other things, say, you know what, I can live with this one. I'll change it. I'll fix it. But you see, since God can see the end before the beginning, there's no change order. In God's project, there's no change order. But we, you and I don't know. God knew if there's going to be a rock there, there'll be a rock there. He knows. Yes. Then I'm not going to put the foundation there. He already knows that. So with God, there's no change order. And that's the reason he said, do not add one word. Yes. If you add one word, what you're trying to say is that God, we need to put a change order because you are not God. You are not omnipotent. You are not omniscient. You didn't know. And don't take out. Don't take anything out. Don't add anything. All right? Like we are building, you're building, all of a sudden they say, you know, we're out of money. Instead of making it 3-bedroom, instead of making 4-bedroom, make it 3. That's all change orders. You take out, is that you're telling God, God, no, you did, God, no. You see, now we are in the age of computers, all that supercomputer, God, we know better than you. All right? So all this thing that you said way back then you told Moses, you told Abraham and all that, in our time, we've realized with supercomputers, with smartphones, God, we know. Can you make a change order to change this? You cannot do that. All right, I'm putting something I can visualize, okay? You cannot, God, with God, there's no change orders. Because he knew the end before the beginning. Everything that he put them there for eternal. He knows it, eternal this. Let there be that. Let the stars be. Let this be. Let that be. Let that be. Let that be. And he told human beings, you're going to stay on earth. But now we're telling God, no, God, we need to change order. We want to go to the moon. We want to go live on Mars. And we're spending on them because we're trying to tell God, God, can you? We need a change order here. You lay out the cosmos, everything, but we think that, look, today we have atomic power. We have power, nuclear power. We have power to boost engines that can take off at hydrogen power. We can go into the skies, like time of Nebuchadnezzar. Time of Nimrod. We can build towers. We learn how to put together mortars, bricks, and all that. We're going to put together and go there. Like today, you can put those things together, engines, and go into the skies to see God. God want to change order. You see, God came and destroyed all that, right? So when God came now to the main dwelling, all right, so now he came to the chapter. So in the master plan, now he came to the place of the main dwelling, all right, where he will manifest his attributes. So you look at the house. What did he say? Genesis 1. You remember from 1:3-25, Genesis 1:1-2, he was citing the land. Genesis 1:3-25, he was defining their pertinences this year, that year, that year, that year. Genesis 1:26-28, my main building. And God said, let us be men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. The main house where you have dominion of everything. If I send somebody to do maintenance at the house, and they go and maintain the guest house, maintain shed, and then maintain the main house, you see what that is? You fire that person. You start the maintenance from there. All right? So, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see, there God laid out the statue of a perfect man, his masterpiece. There, Genesis 1:26-28, that's a perfect man, the spirit man. All right? That's the main dwelling. And that's the perfect man. Now, that's not Adam now, all right? That's the spirit man, all right? That's where when Jesus came, just came in theophany, he can walk through walls, come here and disappear. And that's why Jesus Christ is the statue of the perfect man. Amen. All right? That's how the mission should look like. Amen? Now now we've come to spiritual term now, right? We've moved from civil and okay. And obviously, we all know from the Bible what happened to that when one happened to masterpiece, they come to Adam, God separated the two, and then Adam and Eve, and that's where the human race fell. So, in restoring as I told you, when it comes to a redemption, redemptions mean I'm going back to a state where I was. All right? If I were not in this state, all right, when you say we are going to restore a house, we are restoring it back to where it was. If you don't, then that's not it. You just rebuild something. So in restoring, restoration, in redemption, the redemption plan, all right, God has to bring us back. So in restoring, redeeming us back to original, God gave us the blueprint, all right? And that blueprint gave us the details of the characteristics of what the man, that perfect masterpiece of Genesis 26, 28, that perfect man is supposed to display. That's why we always keep saying that we see our theophany. And one day, when Job was so distressed, wait a minute, I see that all your appurtenances, when the tree died, it come back. But those are the appurtenances. Now I'm using, okay, the word I'm using, you think that I appurtenance something. But I see that when this happened, okay, it comes back. But what about a man dwelling place? What about your main dwelling? If the tree that is an appurtenance to your big dwelling place, if that tree dies and comes back, but what about that man? And that's why he raised. When Job realized that, that's why he knew that in my flesh, though the worm destroy this earth, yet in my flesh shall I see him. He came to realize that, okay? So he knew that that perfect, that way is going. Now, we see in 2 Peter 2 Peter 1:5-11, that the temple where God dwells for fellowship is adorned with seven virtues, all right? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and all that glory is capped with charity, which is Christ himself. All right? Now, when Brother Branham preached the statue of a perfect man, all right, this is what he said. He said, now we are approaching the seven seals. We have just finished the seven church ages. And this, talking about the statue of the perfect man, and this is a message on teaching that ties the man in that's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and is going to be in that church age, that eternal church age at the end of the seal. Now we know that we have seven trumpets, seven plagues, violence, and so forth that we get into as we go along. All right? So Job realized, like I said, there is a perfect. We have a theophany. That's why, and Paul, when Paul got that revelation, all right, he said, if this earthly tabernacle of habitation be dissolved, there's one. Because that master architect, he knew the end. He cannot just create it like the tree leaves, the flower leaves, and everything, and his main dwelling place, we just die and we not come back again. Amen? All right. So today, I'm laying just the foundation for the rest to come. All right. Now, we read in Jude 1:3. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints, unto the saints. So at the beginning of the church age, all right, a word seed was planted, and apostles and the true saints then contended for that word seed, the faith that was delivered to the saints. Amen? But that word seed fell into the ground and died. All right? That fell into the ground and died. But God made us a promise through Malachi 4:5-6, to return back to the original seed again. Amen? So today, as bride, true believers in a restored word of God, if we have the Holy Ghost and not only be in the message, but if the message is in us, we have a duty and a purpose and a responsibility. Every one of us. Not just I'm in a message, I've heard a message, and this. We have a responsibility, duty, and purpose.
Amen.
That is to contend for the faith restored by Malachi 4.
Amen.
Amen? We have to contend. We have to earnestly contend for that faith restored back. The faith was given to the saints, the contend for it to survive. All right, I won't have time to read all the quote, but it went down, die. As Jesus said, if the grain of wheat does not fall and die, does not fall and die, it abide alone, but it fell into the ground and it's coming back. All right, begin to come back through Luther, Wesley, the Pentecostals. All right, and now we come back to the time of the bride. We are going back to that place, that dwelling place of the Master. And he said, that's the prophet Malachi 4. And as 2 Peter 2, 1:10 teaches us, we have to give diligence to make our call and election sure. Brother Branham said here, how can I overcome? What a day, what a time that we are living in. How we should check up, church. Now we talk about these things coming. That's going to come. Now today, let's drop back here and see. Check ourselves and see if we are right in the faith. So, every believer, not just be, say, I'm in a message, but every believer in whom this message is today, fill the Holy Ghost, all right? We must earnestly contend for that faith. Restore what Malachi 4. We must apply the evening message, which is the token. Not only apply it or talk about it, but we must display that token.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? Because that's at the evening time, at the time of the Exodus, the only thing that the angel look at is you have blood on the lintel on the post. Amen?
Amen?
We must constantly check ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith, and not just coming to church, paying tithes, and putting beautiful flowers on the altar like Cain. We must be like Abel because we have received a revelation. You see, Abel, the only reason why Abel could do what he did, offer a lamb rather than putting beautiful flowers on the altar, is because he received a revelation from God as blood. And today, we have received a revelation from God, and we know that it will take the blood. Amen? Abraham said here, then the blood was a token or an identification. The blood identified that the worshiper had slain the lamb and accepted the lamb and applied the token to himself, that he was not ashamed. He didn't care who saw it. He wanted everybody to see it. And it was placed in such a position that everybody passing by could see that token. And the life that was in the blood when it was shed at Calvary has come back to be a token upon us. Amen?
Amen.
So in ending, we're almost close. We will pick up the next coming Sunday. So as you see, all right, we must contend for what is the message of the hour. It is not just putting nice flowers around the altar, but this is the time. Like Abel, we have received a revelation. It's a time for us to apply that revelation. In ending, I'll read this quote and the prayer, and it will end here. All right, Brother Bram said, but I love him. Don't you love him? Can we say amen? He's wonderful, and I'm so glad today that I can join hands with that long string of despised and rejected and hated but Ecclesiastics, down through the land. Here they are. They are the lower. That's right. The ecclesiasticals, speaking of the world, educationally and socially speaking, they're above them. And we are glad to be humble, because though that to be humble themselves, God will someday come the second time in glory to exalt his church. Until then, let's earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But I say today, let's honestly contend for the faith that was, that faith that was lost was restored back by Malachi 4. And I'll end with this prayer of Brother Branham. Brother Branham saying, let us, Lord, as we are thinking of this, remember that we too must go someday. While we are sitting today here in the presence of the Lord Jesus, we will ask that you bring this fresh to our memory and let us check up as it was, or take inventory of our own lives, that we are under the blood and in the faith. Granted, Lord. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to come in your presence. And Father, we pray for the oncoming service. We pray that you bless the minister who will minister the words of eternal life to your children. And we pray for services going around the nation today, different conventions at different places. Oh God, that may your presence be among your children, Lord. Father, we know the hour is late. We see all the things predicted coming. And Father, it's time, the evening time, the time to apply the token, to display it on the posts and the lintel. There's a time, oh God, Father, that your spirit must come and dwell in us. Oh God, we love you. Help us. We need you, Lord Jesus. If there's any time we need you, this time, oh God, help us, Father, to apply the token, not only for ourselves, but for our families, Lord Jesus. And Father, we know we are leaving nobody behind. Oh God, we want to apply the token to our children, to our families, to our loved ones. Oh Father, we want to gather them in the house and apply the token, Lord. Help us, Father. And Father, as we see the evening shadows falling, we pray, God, that may you help us to check ourselves constantly. Help us to check ourselves constantly to know that we are in the faith, oh God. To know that we are in the faith, Father, lead us and guide us, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Father. Oh God, we commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.